I can make an atheist argument for the existence of God. You know, my father's an atheist, and he's a dogmatic atheist. He's like a preacher, an evangelical preacher. Sorry, I'm putting on my shoes, so the audio's going to go in and out. He's like an evangelical preacher, but in reverse. Like he goes, you take your children to church. That's child abuse. Really? I mean, before I went to church, I thought it was a place where they talk about how all gays are going to hell and how dinosaurs don't exist. And then you go there, and it's all about valuable lessons and then you say a prayer, you pray, you basically just give thanks, and then you turn to your neighbor and you say, peace be with you, shake her hand, and you kiss your family. Dinosaurs is yet to come up. But I think a lot of atheists, they get lost in the weeds, and they go, Jesus didn't turn water into wine, and, you know, the God didn't make the dodo bird to kill it, and I can prove there's no God because that little boy has cancer. And I say, take a step back. Actually, with the old man, we sort of stopped arguing last time he was here because I said, I think I've come to the crux of the problem, and that is you never did acid. I mean, unless you've done LSD and stared at the clouds, then I don't want to hear your bullshit about atheism. It's boring. So here's the argument. I can just hear Stefan Molyneux say that's not an argument. It all started with the Big Bang, right? Boom. What was it? 3.6 billion years ago? 4 billion years ago? Massive energy explosion. In the beginning, there was light. And this light formed, this explosion formed the perfect planet. And on this planet, there was a microchip, a magical little first domino that had inside of it a seemingly infinite amount of data, and it's called nature. You see, when I talk to atheists, I just change God to nature, and they see my point. But God is nature. So this thing called nature is this incredible checks and balances machine that has all this sort of free market discipline within it. Billions of years later, if you screw your sister, the child will be retarded, and retards can't breed. So that'll end that. If you have a dodo bird who can't fly, it's going to get eaten. That'll be the end of that bird. All is in there. And I think the first living organism looked like Pac-Man with tons of eyeballs and teeth. He was like a tiny microscopic little sphere that was just a mouth. That thing had in it deer, hammerhead sharks, us. And the explosion also created mountains and water and that sort of gray area of Eferma that is sort of a plant, sort of an animal, like gnats, as gnats buzz around you. They're kind of plants, you know? Some of these insects are just half-assed. Mayflies, they're the losers of the animal kingdom. That's another thing I want to get to. Animals are losers. All species that aren't human suck. A lot of humans suck. We tend to anthropomorphize our pets. There's Mr. Wiggles. He's saying, why are you sitting on my chair? No, he's not. He's saying food, food, territory, territory, food, food, sex, territory, squirrel, squirrel, food, food, territory. Actually, squirrel goes under food. So I see not just the Big Bang, but that magical first domino, that microchip. That in the movie Prometheus, it's an alien who comes down here and drinks some sort of poison that shatters his body, and his molecules separate, and he goes into the water supply, and that leads to a civilization. That's fine. Okay, that's religion. You got me? I'm saying that Prometheus, beginning of that movie, is an interpretation of what I'm saying, and Catholicism, Hinduism. I think the Maoris in New Zealand worship a giant tree. All these other religions are man's futile, desperate way to put it into words. We don't really literally believe that you grow wings when you die and you play a harp. We don't literally believe that God has a long white beard and he's like a skinny Santa. That's just, we're just putting emojis on it. So to talk about Jesus, I understand the miracles, that's a whole other conversation. There's some that say that it's just metaphorical, he wasn't literally magic. The Jews obviously say he doesn't exist and they follow everything but that guy. And then many, you know, Catholics say, no, those are actual miracles. But I'm not going to get into Jesus in this. I just want you to believe in God. So I guess the argument I'm making isn't for Catholicism, it's for deism. And once we can get you on deism, then I don't care where you go. You know, Charles Murray talks about how I think he gave up atheism and came to God, and it was just sort of like a dart in a dartboard that he chose. Was it Amish? I think his wife became Amish and goes to that church, whatever that is. It's some weird religion like that, but the religion wasn't important to him. Same with Glenn Beck. I believe he went from religion to religion, and his only question was, is Gandhi going to hell? And the Mormon said no, and he said, all right, fine, I'm buying. Put my money down. Oh, and he puts money down, boy. I love Glenn, but he's a bit of a Looney Tune. I heard he has $1 million watch. WTF. At the old Blaze Studios in New York, it was like an entire city block. Hello, hello, hello. I knew a guy who worked there, and I want to go grab a beer with him, and I would be like, Mike. I'm not exaggerating. And no one was there. And I'd shoot Dana's show, and it was in a tiny corner with a little crappy green screen, like it could be your closet, while we own a city block. The rent must have been $100,000 a month, and I'm not exaggerating. Did you see on the State of the Union, Glenn Beck tweeted out, oh, I would give my left arm to be doing this speech. It deserves something that I can give it or something like that. And Donald Trump could just be the man on the street, and I would be the speech guy. That's the craziest thing I've ever read in a tweet. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Hello, hello. I would just like to say that I'm going to have Glenn Beck read my speech today, and I'll be sitting down here. I won't look like a cuck or anything. Take it away, Glenn. Read my speech.
What? I'd dump him that day. I would cease to be MAGA. Anyway. So I think the atheists get too lost in what religion you chose. Just choose religion. Recognize that there's a God. And I say to the atheist, I go, okay, what was the Big Bang? Well, we don't know. They always say that. Isn't it weird that someone is so dogmatic about something they don't know? There were 6 members of Rush. Are you sure? No, but you better not think otherwise. Pretty sure there's only 3 guys in the band Rush. By the way, good joke when someone says they're going to be late or they're not sure they're going to make it in time. You say, don't worry, dude, I'm like a girl's record collection. And then when they say, what? You go, no Rush. So this magical chip, this magical thing, this tiny, infinitesimally small magic thing is rolled out. And it keeps growing and growing. And the next thing you know, it's a fish. Then it keeps growing and improving. But while it's growing, it's not a linear line from the Pac-Man to man. It's chaotic. See, this is another thing atheists have a problem with, the chaos. They say, why does a little boy have cancer? Why is there evil? Why can so many things go wrong? And I go, well, what do you want? We're all supermen? Okay, so I'm just going to walk off the top of this building, Rockefeller Center. I'm just going to walk off the top of it. Smash! I smash down on the pavement. I presume the pavement is now shattered. And then I get up and keep walking. We're all Thor? That's no fun. And the analogy I always use to prove that is Superman is bored of the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon is spectacular. It's beautiful. It's not fenced in, by the way. So if you're going with a toddler, duct tape him to the stroller. There's a little kid once did just run off. 4-year-old died. And you will die. But to go down there, there's cabins at the bottom of it. There's an Indian tribe at the bottom of it, by the way. How's that for weird? There's a whole world down there. It goes on forever. But there's a cabin. You got to book them a year in advance because it's so beautiful. There's a big river there. You can go whitewater rafting, and you're just in a hole, in a beautiful, gigantic hole. So if you want to go and stay at those cabins, it's a year in advance because it's so fantastic. And the trip down is death-defying. The trip down is cliff edges. Like, it's barely wide enough for a donkey, and your bags are on a donkey. If you fall off the donkey, you're dead. So you're on a cliff edge. It takes about a day to go down there. People get dehydrated because they think it's easy. It's really difficult. It takes something like 9 hours to walk down it. And then you get down there, and after all that hard work, you're just in awe of how beautiful it is. Superman swirls around. She's off. That was gay. Superman thinks that all of the seven wonders of the world are quote-unquote gay. That's what he said about it. Because there's no struggle there. You know, one of the McInnes, our name, one of the clan's mottos is, I derive pleasure from hard work. It says that in Gaelic with a little B. And I honestly think that's why blacks on welfare are so miserable and seemingly prone to crime. And Indians are so prone to alcoholism and depression and suicide because it's not human not to struggle. Oh, they don't struggle in the hood? No, I don't mean that. I mean they're not struggling with hard work. They don't have jobs. And that's why, that's why we're seeing so much effusive praise of Trump outside of the mainstream media and the coasts. Because jobs matter, not money. Jobs matter. That's who... what defines you. And that is part of that little Pac-Man microchip. That was part of the design. You see, in that little tiny organism, the Prometheus molecule, there's all these checks and balances. Like, if you don't work, I'm going to make you miserable. If you play God, which is what communism is, Stalin is saying, I'm God now. I'm going to distribute the food. I'm going to do all the checks and balances myself. I'm going to take over for the microchip. Well, when you do that, hundreds of millions of people die. Mao killed 70 million. So socialism on a small scale, like Cuba, is misery and destruction and death. On a large scale, like Russia, it's tens of millions of cadavers. And that's part of the microchip, too. That's the same as screwing your sister and making a retard. It's all in there. The checks and balances, the magic nature, the dodo bird. What about murder? Okay, so this is where heaven and hell come in. I believe that we, and religion recognizes this, are all one. One love, what about the woman? One heart, give thanks and praise to the Lord, and it will be all right. And your life is just part of this big, long, endless chain of humanity. That's why sex feels good. And sex, by the way, to make a baby feels way better than banging a chick in the bathroom. You won't know till you try it. But it just feels more real. Wow. You're at one with the cosmos. And you walk down the street the next day and you're sort of like, hello, fellow human being. I was just trying to make a human being last night. How's your human being? Or as they say in French, un bien humain. That was a joke in Quebec. Why did I just ruin that joke by locating its place of origin? Jesus. Sex is the same way, too. When you start sort of getting into it and talking about it, and you know what I like to do is this, and did you enjoy that? You ruin it. It's like comedy. Don't overanalyze it. That's all part of the checks and balances. So anyway, Gavin, do you go to Lake of Fire when you die? You really believe that? No. But I can make an atheist argument for heaven and hell. When you procreate, when you're good, when you live a long life, when you lead a Christian life, you have tons of offspring. They recreate. You're now a bigger part of this magic thing that is humanity. When you are a murderer, we have a check and balance in there. You tend to die. You tend to get killed by the victim's family. You tend to go to jail. You tend not to procreate. You end up becoming extinct. And look at crime in the past 100 years. Been plummeting. Murderers are going extinct. Murder is happening less and less and less. Also, by the way, look at our lifespan. Even throughout the Great Depression, everything, it's been a 45-degree line up, because we're getting better. So when you think of humanity as one big organism, that organism just keeps improving and improving and improving. It's possible that we're in heaven. Heaven is humanity. This is where I stray from my Catholic doctrines a little bit. But we've almost cured cancer. Our lifespan keeps going up and up. We keep coming up with better ways. I was talking to a guy yesterday who had he had a herniated disc, so the sort of padding on his disc was sticking into his nerves, crippling pain. Within an hour and a half of walking into his surgeon's office, slit his back, cut the thing, moved it away from the nerves, put the nerves back, stitched him up. He was having a drink an hour later at the bar. And one and a half hours to fix crippling pain. Tell that to a caveman. He'll poop his pants. Or his, like, loincloth, his fur pants. I don't think they had pants until well into the sort of plague days. The French probably had the first pant. And then they made another one for the other leg, and it became plural. I don't like that. I don't like underpants being plural. It's just a thing. It's like a bra. There's no pants there. My underwear is, I'm going to call it underpant. I don't even like pants being plural, because there's not two of them. They just have two legs. A shirt has two arms. You don't call it a shirts. From now on, I'm going to call it a pant. I wear a shirt and a pant. And I also, under my pant, I have the aptly named underpant. Anyway. So hell is not being part of this magic equation. And heaven is recreating, going back into the soil. So you could say an atheist who doesn't believe in God has a heaven and a hell, and has a creator, that weird force that started the whole thing. Deist, atheist, same thing. And when we go to church, it's a very kid-friendly church, my church, and there's kids playing music and singing, a whole little choir, and there's kid time when the kids leave us and they go to some other room and do a kid's thing with one of the nuns, then they come back. Kiddity kid, kid, kid. And you're sitting there in this church, it's like 150 years old, and you're thinking about, I feel connected to the people who built it. And they had their kids in here and sang these same hymns. You see what I'm saying now? Once you get away from the individual and you make yourself about the 7 billion, you see that God is right here, very real. God is nature. Heaven is nature. Hell is nature. Now, let me tell you the craziest part. And I don't mind if you don't come aboard on this part. Molyneux, this is not an argument. When I said it's possible this is heaven, I had an epiphany in church, which is blasphemous because it's not a very Catholic epiphany. And I thought, wait a minute. We don't have wings and a harp and sit on a cloud, right? Heaven is unfathomable to our brains. It's like infinity. For all we know, we're different colored gases. They just seep around, experiencing euphoria. For all we know, we become trees. I don't know, and it feels like being on heroin. Feels great. Not advocating heroin, of course. Lost another guy today. That's two ODs in 1 week, by the way, and I'm sure I'm not unusual. May he rest in peace. So it's something where we would just be a totally different organism, and then we'd look back as ourselves, as humans, and go, loser. Dude, can you believe we were humans? You wouldn't even remember being a human because it would be such a loser thing, because what you are now is like radiant light magicness. Okay, we're about to go to crazy town. Then I realized, wait a minute, I'm that different from a sperm. I'm laughing at a sperm right now. What? You're just a ball with a little string at the end? You're like a short tampon? You look like a tadpole. You're a loser. That was me, though. And now here I am with all these functioning limbs, and I'm making babies, and I'm articulating my thoughts, and I can jump on a trampoline, and I can draw a pretty good goat. And we keep improving, and some guy can fix my back in an hour and a half. And, by the way, we've only begun. I mean, life has only been awesome for, like, since World War II, really, as far as conveniences go. If I'm hungry for 1 second, I have a panic attack. Like, I'm never remotely inconvenienced. I'm an alcoholic, and when I walk around Manhattan, literally every 50 feet, there is bourbon saying, "Would you like one, sir?" They're totally within your budget, and I have to go, "No, thank you, I'm overfed." My pants are undone right now, by the way, because since I had this suit made, I've become fatter by overindulging myself. Okay, Gavin, but you're talking about how awesome life is and everything, but you never really got into the kids with cancer. And what about the third world? They're suffering. Yeah. We're not all going to be at the same place. I'm not as good of a swimmer as Mark Phelps. The West has been working hard and honing this. By the way, getting closer to God. You know, Trump was recently quoted, he said, "Our rights are not given to us by man. Our rights come from our Creator." The free market is God. The invisible hand of capitalism that Adam Smith talks about, that's just you standing back and letting the microchip work. Communism is the opposite. You're saying, "I want the bread to go to this house and not that house." That's not letting nature take its course. Capitalism is God. And I've talked about this before, but in that documentary, I, Pencil, that marvels at the incredible way a pencil is made. All these people magically come together. And there's a scene in it where they show a hand, an invisible hand. They're talking about Adam Smith's invisible hand of capitalism. And it's made up of a million pencils. And I'm watching going, that's the hand of God, dude. And that's why America prospers. Because we are the most free market in the world. So we're the closest to God. Because we are the most natural in that sense. And the Middle East, by the way, a big problem with them is inbreeding, marrying the first cousins. Also in India with Hindus, because they want to keep the money in the family. We put a check and a balance in that. I told you about fucking the sister. First cousin ain't great either. So you're going against God when you do that. And I guess in that sense, the Quran is against God. It's a blasphemous document because it says it's A-okay. Please don't chop my head off for that. So all these other places are just us back in time. Like when I see Islam beheading some homosexual, I guess I just, it makes me nostalgic because I remember when we used to do that 500 years ago. Ah, the good old days. I'm getting melancholy. They're just behind us. They'll catch up. It's constantly improving, this humanity thing. And of course, there's going to be dregs on the outskirts. There's going to be starving people over here as they iron out the kinks. They just keep improving, keep getting better. This giant ball of humanity. Actually, I see it more as crocodile-shaped. Skinny at one end, skinny at the other end, and then sort of fat in the middle. This big blob of humanity is possibly heaven, but definitely what religion is all about. And don't you think it's weird that you have some crazy tribe in Papua New Guinea and they, from nothing, will have some straw head that looks like, you know, what's his name from Castaway, Wilson? Isn't it weird how everyone from scratch has a religion that the Maoris are praying up against that giant tree? Because it's within us. It's within the microchip. The same way you feel better when you have sex with your wife to make a kid, that's like checking off the box with the microchip. That phrase, closer to nature, closer to God. It's within us. Now, another crazy tangent here that I don't expect you to hop on board is that all animals are abominations. Best example of this is the unbelievably goofy loser, the hammerhead shark. What are you doing, dude? What is with your ridiculous eyes? Or you ever see an oar fish? It's just this big, long, dragon-looking thing with like feathers in the top of its head, and it's about 20 feet long, and it has nothing. No fins, nothing. It's just like a long, skinny piece of biological garbage. Now, I don't want to hurt animals. I was a vegetarian for 15 years. I don't think that's ethical. But I do think they're total and utter. They're like tumors, really. Don't hurt them. It's okay to eat them. But I feel sorry for them. Even my own dog. I look at him and I think, your only joy is the scraps I throw you. You cursed beast. And by the way, we went against nature with him because he's a purebred Havanese puppy thing, which isn't natural. This used to be a wolf. Ugh. It's kind of horrific, actually, my dog. My weird... I took a wolf and I made it into that little stupid ball of fur. I have no contempt for animals. I feel sorry for them. They're almost cursed. And what it is it's sort of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right? They had that toxic slime and it hit a turtle and turned it into a weird freak. The slime is the Pac-Man at the beginning. And it's like, let's go make a human. Oops, we spilled it. And you have birds that are weird dinosaurs. You have mammals, hamsters. That used to be us, by the way. So they're just an old version of us. Think of it as a tree where there's one linear branch that goes up the center and the tip of it is perfect, like a Christmas tree. And then there's all these branches everywhere of just ridiculous. Like, animals are ridiculous. Like, what's a bigger loser than a deer? That weird, elegant rat with knives sticking out of its head for fighting? Or a moose getting bit by bugs going, running into through the cutover because he's driven insane with black flies? Deer coming out of the woods after winter with gangrenous sores and maggots crawling out of their ass? Sorry, guys, but your life blows and you're less special than us. So I believe that we were the plan and we're still improving. I believe that animals are just sort of a tangent, really. And also, by the way, if there was a Superman, I wouldn't be religious anymore because God made someone better than us. So we're the hammerhead shark. And my whole theory is over and I'm an atheist if there's life on other planets. If there are aliens, this all is bullshit because it wasn't the first domino wasn't to create man. There was a whole other thing going on. And that bugs me sometimes at church, too. Like, there was this story we heard from the Bible where some guy, God said, I'll grant you anything. What are you, Merlin now? And he said, the guy asked for a knowing heart. Isn't that beautiful? And I go, no, God can't make someone magic. That's making a Superman or an alien. Now you're cheating. Now we're not all on the same page. The whole point is that we all, as a community of humans, billions if you go back to the first organism, billions of years, we're all in this together, making the perfect human. And then you give some guy amnesty by giving him a knowing heart? What if he said, I want to fly, God? Now we have a flying guy? Now he's better than Jesus. That was a dumb move on God's part. Sometimes church is boring and sometimes the stories in the Bible are insane, but that's man's fault. That's man trying to glean these lessons. Hey, I noticed that when I kill someone, that person's family kills me. So let's put that in a story of the story of Josiah who killed someone and got brained to death with a rock. You're writing down, right, the biological evolutionary traits that God planted in the microchip. Those fables, those lessons we learned in the Bible, that's us running down, hey, I've noticed a pattern here. When I screw my sister, it makes a retard. Thou shalt not loveth thy sistereth. Get some parts wrong, but it's all man scrambling to put words, to put a body, to put clothes, to put pant on this bizarre, overwhelming, beautiful, literally awesome phenomenon called life. And when you go to church, you don't sit there and go, you go, oh, whoa. That's why they're made like that. So you just sit back and go, what an incredible thing. I'm so thankful that I have life and that I was able to make kids. And then they can have lives. Thanks, whoever's doing this. We really appreciate it. So I'm showing you that nature has checks and balances and they're magical. You can't deny that as an atheist. Got it? Okay. All right. You're with me? All right. Now nature's God. There. I just made an atheist argument for God. You know something fishy's going on with all this magic. You can call it nature or call it God. It's the same thing. Thank you and good night.